Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Live from the University of Minnesota, you are listening to CultureQ, Radio K's arts and culture program that has for over 5 years been dedicated to providing you stories from the many wonders of the Twin Cities that you won't hear anywhere else. I'm your host, Matt Curtis, and thank you so much for joining us. Tonight, we are bringing music to life as part of Radio K's K-Starter campaign. 1 week every semester where we look to you to help us do what we do best, provide eclectic music and engaging storytelling. And three reporters are looking to show that tonight. Parker Lemke faces the music and steps into the boots of a U of M security monitor, Aaron Bolton attends a local house show, and Nathan Gurdis films a music video. Let us bring music to life right now on Radio K's CultureQ.
It's always a better party because it goes later. The drinks are more liberal and the crowd is more game to tear it up a little bit, whereas they keep it kind of reined in at venues.
Security monitor is responsible for pretty much after-hours security of the campus.
Super group of Minneapolis filmmakers. We're working with all sorts of music artists to put out a new music video every day.
Safety has been a big topic of discussion on and around the U of M campus this winter. For students already encumbered with intense coursework and busy schedules, personal safety is yet one more item on their list of college concerns. Thankfully, the U's dedicated security monitor program is here to keep the threat of campus crime in check. CultureQ producer Parker Lemke is reporting. But it's hard for him to understand that you want to love a
woman. For University of Minnesota security monitors like Peter Hansen, the entire campus is their office.
We are in the West Bank substation. This is just where people check in and check out to go to shifts. They come in here, get their equipment, and then they leave.
As a branch of the University of Minnesota Police Department, the Security Monitor Program provides guided escorts to and from university buildings and surrounding neighborhoods, free of charge and no questions asked.
We don't ask why. That's not our job to ask why people want escorts. It's someone wants someone to walk with them, so we walk with them.
This, however, isn't the job's only responsibility.
Security Monitor is responsible for pretty much after-hours security of the campus. It's technically patrolling. When we don't have escorts, we secure buildings. So we go into buildings and make sure offices are locked, labs are locked, things like that.
And University of Minnesota Police Deputy Chief Charles Miner says that their work is a lot of help to local law enforcement.
Security monitors are basically the eyes and ears of the UMPD. So there's, at peak times, there's about 150 student security monitors. There are many more of them than there are of us. The police officers can't be everywhere at once. So we really rely on the security monitors to report what they're seeing and let us know about things they're experiencing in the field.
But what happens when a security monitor comes across something suspicious?
You inform police immediately and you keep a safe distance from the situation.
So even though they are expected to keep their eyes open for possible criminal conduct, it is not their place to intervene.
We don't expect them to physically intervene in anything unless it's a matter of defending themselves or defending a person they're giving an escort to. The security monitors don't receive any formal training on, you know, how to use force to affect an arrest or things like that.
In fact, dealing with Minnesota's frigid winter weather is sometimes a greater challenge to the U's security monitor team.
There might be nights where you're outside for 8 hours straight and you're never really going back in a building because you have escort after escort after escort, and it's cold. It's just really cold, but you put some warmer clothes on and you just go with it.
And Peter is still glad he signed up.
I just needed a job, really, and it was open, and that's really all there is to it. That's where most of our employees are. We're all college students, and we all usually just need a job, and this is open. It allows me to be a full-time student and work as many hours as I need to support myself. Since we are on shift 24/7, you can find a time to work if you want to work.
And working on average 36 to 40 hours a week in the evenings and early mornings has made Peter practically nocturnal.
It was last semester, actually, I worked almost exclusively night shifts. And I had all my classes in the morning. So my classes actually turned into, to me, and what they felt like to me were actually night classes. Because I would wake up in the evening, I would go to work, I would get done with work, and then I would go straight to class. And then I would be getting done with class at around 11 or noon, and that's when I would, my day would end, and I would go to sleep. So I really just had an opposite schedule of everyone else on campus.
So basically you slept in the afternoon, that was your
yeah.
night?
Yeah, and then I would wake up and I would work all night, and then I would go to class in the morning.
The vigorous nature of this work schedule is one reason why UMPD is changing its security monitor payment policies.
It can be a tough job, and we recently realized that the pay of the security for the security monitors was not as high as it should have been, or not as high comparable to some other student jobs. And that was resulting in high turnover in the program. So we've recently raised the pay of the security monitors to the point where it's a much better paid job now. And as a result, we're doing more hiring to fill those positions.
Hopefully, this will mean there will be more security monitors on hand to keep the university safe and sound. Because on this college campus, the night is always young.
You can find people walking around campus all the time, coming and going from places. Some of the libraries don't close until 3 a.m., so you will find people studying. There's just people all the time on campus that never really goes to sleep here.
Most security monitor shifts come and go without much excitement, an aspect of the job that Peter Hansen is fine with.
And that's good. An uneventful patrol is a good patrol.
So the next time you need to get across campus on a dark, nerve-wracking night, you can count on the U security monitors to keep you safe on your journey. For Culture Q, I am Parker Wimke.
Concerts are a common occurrence on any day of the week here in Minneapolis. You can go to any of your favorite venues and find a show for any type of music. But what about a show in a house? These private events are part house party, part concert. New reporter Aaron Bolton attended a house show in Minneapolis to see what's on offer versus a concert at a traditional venue.
I think house shows are a great opportunity for musicians to reach a different crowd that they don't normally get at traditional venues. And on that note, it's always a better party because it goes later. The drinks are more liberal, and the crowd is more game to tear it up a little bit, whereas they keep it kind of reined in at venues.
I'm here with Brandon, and we're talking about how house shows and venues differ.
Right, well, when you've got a party going at a house versus at a club, you've got a lot of people that you've invited, but I feel like generally there's still cliques. But when you go to like a venue or like a show or even like a festival experience, it's almost like everybody is one. Right when you walk into that venue, like you are now in a room with 1,000 of your new best friends.
So JT, what do you think about house shows versus going to a venue?
Yeah, it's great to have a little more, a little less strict policy. There's no coat check involved, but you know, you can find a way. But a house party is a great mix of a little different environment.
Fans and partygoers' preferences on venues versus house shows are only half the answer. I talked with some of the bands to get their perspective on playing at these events.
I'm here with Ben and Nick of Modern Era and Jack as well.
I'm here.
I like the house parties because it's really chill. It's not like a competitive atmosphere like you get in a bar. Everyone's just trying to come out and hang out and have a good time.
I love it. I feel like you can actually connect with the people who want to see the music.
Do you think it's a good place to network with bands?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like a really no-pressure situation, so I think the bands actually at parties are a lot easier to converse with each other because it's not like you're kind of competing.
Get your guard
for
down.
Entertainment, yeah. And you're not in your typical, you know, house, so you're kind of don't know how to deal with it, you know?
I mean, you can meet people anywhere, but like I said, if you're going to come see a show at a house, you're actually going to want to go. You know, it's not like you just read an ad, oh, this band's coming through, because there's not going to be an ad for a house party show. You had to hear about it, you know? You almost have to be a part of it, and that's kind of what keeps people wanting to come. It's like, you got to find your way in. You're not just going to know where the house is unless someone specifically tells you. So
yeah.
It's always cool because you meet a specific group of people, which is awesome.
Exclusive, you know? Yeah. It's like, you got to know people to get in there.
Yeah.
And keep out the riffraff.
Keep out the riffraff. None of that riffraff, boy. None of that.
I'm here with Danger Round and the Spins. And these guys like to play at house shows. They also like to put them on. So I guess, what's your general opinion?
I think the idea of playing house shows is a lot more fun. I mean, overall, just more people are going to come out. It's free. And yeah, I mean, the venues are great, but it's harder in this day and age to get people to come out to live music. So it's nice.
Hey, I'm Marshall. I'm the singer. That was Matt. He plays drums. Yeah, we've been playing venues in Minneapolis for like a year and a half now. And, you know, we haven't really, like, made any money off that, which is, like, not what it's about. But I feel like that's kind of what it's more about when you play venues. And I prefer to play house shows because I think the spirit of the thing is just about music and people coming together to play their music.
What is the process of doing a venue show rather than a house show?
I mean, it's always worth it, and we have tons of venues that we love playing at, but I mean, you know, the process is just, there's all the cleanup, it's easier to get people to the house, the venue, I mean, it's really a toss-up, but overall, like, house shows are just more for now.
Even though house shows aren't competition for venues, I wanted to see what a venue such as First Avenue may think of these private house shows.
I'm talking with Nate Kranz here, GM of First Avenue. And we're kind of talking about house parties. You know, they're not very new thing. They've been around for, you know, forever. They're, you know, party with live music at it. And, you know, many people go to it for different reasons. But, you know, what is your general opinion on, you know, house shows with live music?
You know, I mean, certainly I've had a good time at house shows in the past. I mean, I think they're, you know, kind of a fun, they're a great way for, you know, say newer bands that maybe haven't gotten into the clubs yet or whatever, or just starting out and want to get in front of an audience. And I think it might be easier for newer bands, like if they are playing, you know, it's hard when you get into a club if nobody's ever seen you. Sort of a catch-22 is, how are you supposed to ever get people in front of you, short of, you know, opening for more established bands or whatever. And so I think a house party can sort of fill that role in a lot of ways for newer bands that are starting up, because they can just go down, they can play a house party. The draw is not necessarily so reliant on a well-known band, but, you know, people are going to go to a house party and it's going to be inexpensive and excited to see something new, quite possibly, and it's a way for bands to get in front of people. And it's also a way that if you're, you know, like say a local artist and you want to play more than you can play at just clubs if you're going to continue to get people down. And so it's maybe an alternative. So you can do a show at, say, 7th Street Entry one weekend and maybe play a house party 2 weeks later. And it's not quite as advertised. It's a little bit more of an underground thing. And it won't affect you from going and, you know, maybe doing another club show after that.
For Culture Q, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Live in the studio, I have new reporter Aaron Bolden. This was your first story. How was it?
It was very interesting. It was a, you know, strange environment to be walking around and asking people, you know, these random questions. It was definitely drew some attention to myself.
Yeah, the recording equipment is quite an eyesore.
Yeah.
So you actually host house shows yourself?
Yeah, right? Yeah. We like to just have a bunch of friends over and have some good music playing, and it's a fantastic thing to do. It's just different. It's not your same venue show, but it's also a house party. It's just a great mixture of things going on.
How did you get involved with it? Because, you know, judging by the story, it seems like it's very, very classified thing going on. So how did you get?
Just getting to know the right people. I just stumbled upon it, and we talked with some people, and they like to come over our house and hang out, and they just like, hey, you want to throw a house show? And I was like, well, I mean, if you think we could do it. So, and over the first few times, it worked out fantastically. Everyone behaved themselves properly. It worked out nice.
Is he going to keep doing them?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we got to move on to the next house. Our landlord wants to sell the house here. But there's other things in the work. We're doing some outdoor stuff here soon. So
you're talking about like some kind of network of house shows. Is that
yeah. Danger Ron and the Spins, they're a local band here, and they like to throw on these house shows. And they are the guys that helped me out with this, and that's what they're doing, is, you know, people that can facilitate this kind of thing, and they're just trying to get a network. I think the name they coined for it is called Upstream Circuit, and you know, if you go to these things, and they'll come and ask you to get on an email blast, and that's kind of how it formulates.
Nice. Well, best luck with that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Aaron. You did a great job, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Selects one album to highlight, and this week we have selected Wonderland by CEO as our weekly release spotlight. CEO is the solo project from half of disbanded Swedish duo The Tough Alliance. The sophomore release encapsulates the sound that Erik Berglund is known for. The songs range from the very chill to the very energetic, with a flurry of synths and punchy percussion at his disposal. You can check out the full review written by Rock and Roll Over host Merv Moorhead and download a free track from RadioK.org. Right now we're going to play a track from the album. This is Ultra Chaos by CEO from the album Wonderland, right here on Radio K's Culture Cube. I'm not afraid to student can spend thousands of dollars annually to go to a film school that promises to help them build their careers. But is it really necessary? Music reporter Nathan Gurdes goes on location at a music video set to experience what it's like when kids take education into their own hands.
Local band American Youth was expecting this. They knew there was only so long they could play and film inside this downtown Minneapolis Macy's before they'd be booted out into the streets on a particularly cold February day. But rather than resting, the group immediately goes to work scouting the next shooting location.
We go into the church and tell them we're a Christian band. He's like, hey, we're Catholic too.
We're a Catholic band. Have you ever heard of really that?
But why such a hurry? That's because Adam Jacobs, filmmaker and founder of the Captain's Project, knows he has to get this entire music video shot, edited, and released by the end of the day.
The Captain's Project is like a super group of Minneapolis filmmakers, and we're working with all sorts of music artists to put out a new music video every day during the month of February.
We may be sitting in a comfortable suburban home a few days after the American Youth shoot, but don't be fooled into thinking Adam is relaxed. He's just pulled in 10 minutes late, squeezing in this interview between filming and a meeting with his Captain's Project associates.
I'm so tired from all this video.
Adam is joined by Kaylee Herder, a musician and high school senior at the nearby Perpich Center for Arts Education. Kaylee helps with all the planning and logistics behind this massive month-long project.
I've been working pretty closely with Adam for the last year or so, and he is really good at what he does, but, you know, the filmmaker boys need someone to take charge and schedule and lead a little bit.
I've been making videos since I was probably, you know, the size of a toothpick. I started at a very young age, and I found very early on that this was my true passion. So if there's something that I'm going to make a go of, you know, it's this or nothing, basically.
Even this passion for art and filmmaking, however, doesn't fully explain why these artists impose such a tight deadline on themselves. What do members of the Captain's Project get out of such an ambitious project, as opposed to simply continuing their filmmaking hobbies at their own pace?
This is what I want to do for a living. I want to be a filmmaker. And, you know, the chickens just got to be cooked, you know, in a metaphorical sense, too. You gotta put the work in before you really get to eat, and that's what we're doing. See, normally, you know, you'd put a week into a music video, but making one every day, we shoot a music video and it's released either that night or like within the week. That's also kind of the point of this project, is it's like, hey, if we can do this every day, you know, think about if this was just a weekly thing.
Rather than enjoying a hobby and then being thrust into the world of the arts and entertainment industry with little preparation and even less experience, these filmmakers are pushing themselves above and beyond what they feel will be expected of them in hopes of coming out ahead of their peers.
I'm planning on going to school for business management, so I just thought it would be a nice little dip into what I'm going to be doing.
I'd say the Captain's Project is an exhibition project. Everyone in this is really good at what they do, but we're still young, and we needed something to say like, hey, you know, if we can put out a music video every day, you know, think about what we could do for your band in a week, you know, something like that. Just being that close, like, we'll probably work with some people that we, like, literally idolize at some point, just because of the connections we're making. So that's cool.
If there's an underlying motivation for the Captain's Project, it's the much more universal idea that education comes in many different forms, and that you should educate yourself in whatever manner will most effectively help you fulfill your dreams and ambitions.
Probably learning a lot more than I'd be in film school doing this. Like, we're actually making videos every day. We're not just going to class and then making, like, a little 8mm film movie once a month. We're, you know, not hating on film school, but I feel a lot busier than a
college student right now.
It's one thing to tell kids to follow their dreams, but it's another thing entirely to see people actively and voluntarily putting in the hard work to make these dreams a reality. For many, a formal education is the best way to go about this. But often for artists, personal experience and strong connections are more important for success than any classroom. For Culture Q, I'm Nathan Gerdes.
You've been listening to Culture Q on Radio K, airing every Sunday at 6 p.m, bringing you all the stories from the Twin Cities that you won't hear anywhere else. Log on to RadioK.org and show your support by contributing to Radio K's K-Starter campaign. Tonight you heard stories from Parker Lemke, Aaron Bolton, and Nathan Gerdes. Our reporters are Amy Friedman, Parker Lemke, and Kitty Bolin. Our music reporter is Nathan Gerdes. Our culture coach is Sarah Lemanchek, and I'm Matt Curtis. You can find us on RadioK.org, PRX, and iTunes. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. See you next Sunday at 6 p.m., and thank you for listening.